This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
So, hey, Broncos country, how are you feeling about the first round of the NFL draft as the Broncos nab yet another corner and draft Pat Surtain the second with their number 9 pick? 607 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's voice, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Well, Mike Liss, 9 News, his typical pattern, didn't mince words, saying, can't have that too many corners, right, Vic Fangio? So what are your thoughts this morning? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you disappointed? Are you hopeful? Was this the right choice? As the Broncos indeed did take Alabama cornerback Pat Surtain the second with their number 9 overall draft pick on Thursday. And many in Broncos country, at least this is what I'm picking up from the grapevine, were kind of disappointed because they wanted either Justin Fields or Mac Jones, quarterbacks who had been available. Now, Fangio, Broncos head coach and defensive play caller, said, we like corners, obviously. He is the master of the obvious there. You never have too many of those in this league in this day and age. We ran short last year with a lot of corners through injuries. So always happy to pick up a good corner. Now, the Broncos, as you're well aware, played the final four games of last season without their top three corners, as A.J. Boye, he was suspended, Bryce Callahan suffering from a foot injury, and Eason Bassey, ACL problem, they all were down. And after acquiring veteran quarterback Teddy Bridgewater to back up Drew Locke on Wednesday, Broncos GM George Payton felt pretty confident enough anyway, with his quarterback position to stand pat. And unless he can shake Aaron Rodgers away from the Green Bay Packers, well, it seems as though it's going to remain the status quo. That's kind of interesting if you've been watching that, because Aaron Rodgers is like, I want out. I'm done. And meanwhile, the Packers are saying, oh, no, we still stand in support of Aaron Rodgers. So it's gonna be kind of interesting to see how that all plays out. This as Rodgers lit up the NFL universe just yesterday by letting it known, no questions there, through media channels that, yeah, he wants to be traded. And the Broncos surfaced as one of his preferred destinations. But that speculation pretty well cooled by the end of the night yesterday. As sources told 9 News, the possibility of a Rodgers trade is not dead, although it might be a long shot. Now, Surtain was drafted first, even though the Broncos' two biggest free agent acquisitions, Ronald Darby and Kyle Fuller, were both cornerbacks, and the team returns, at least so far, another solid corner in Bryce Callahan. Fuller and Callahan have had their contracts expire after the 2021 season. Fangio said, when asked how he was going to get Surtain on the field with Fuller, Darby, and Callahan, we'll find a way. I'm sure there will be times when we play 5 DBs, 6 DBs, there will be spots. Now, Surtain, for his part, said in a Zoom press conference with the Denver media, I'll benefit a lot learning from those guys, very experienced guys in the NFL, picking their brain and learning from them each and every day. Interestingly enough, the Broncos have now used their first-round draft pick on an Alabama player in back-to-back years. They took Crimson Tide receiver Jerry Judy, with the number 15 overall pick last year. Surtain the second, by the way, is the son of former Dolphin and Chiefs cornerback Patrick Surtain, who played 11 years in the NFL from 1998 to 2008. Surtain said, I think I could come in on day one and make an impact on the team just from my play style. style and my play traits. Now, by taking Surtain, the Broncos passed up Fields. This is a dual-threat quarterback from Ohio State, and Jones, an accurate passer who led Alabama to the national championship, Peyton said. Both really good players, but we felt Patrick Surtain was the number one player on our board, so stands to reason that's why they took Patrick. Peyton also passed on chances to move back in the draft and acquire extra draft picks. Now, according to 9 News and a source speaking to 9 News, that source said Philadelphia, the number 12 pick, Chicago, number 20, and New Orleans, number 28, were all interested in swapping with the Broncos, number 9 pick, but Peyton, well, he preferred to stay and take his top guy. In an AFC West where opposing quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes II, Justin Herbert, and Derek Carr are among the league's best, Peyton decided to build up the defense with hopes of stopping their passing attacks. Going on to say, we play the Chiefs, which was the number one pass offense. The Raiders were 7th, Chargers were 6th. Teams throw the ball in our division, and we need to be able to cover their receivers. And if Von Miller and Bradley Chubb return to 2018 form as edge rushers, well, watch out, Surtain said. It's a very stacked defense. I can't wait to complete with those guys. I think when you look at it, when it's all said and done, we're going to be the number one defense in the NFL. Well, Broncos need more production from their corners. In the last 2 years, they have a combined 4 interceptions by cornerbacks. Now, a 5-star high school recruit and the nation's top-ranked cornerback, Surtain, signed with Alabama, started 12 of 15 games as a true freshman, 37 tackles, 1 interception. Surtain started all 26 Alabama games in 2019-20 and had 80 tackles, 3 interceptions, and 23 pass breakups. He was the SEC Defensive Player of the Year and First Team All-America just last year. Now, after matching up against the SEC's best receivers for 3 years, Surtain will get to see Kansas City's Tyreek Hill, the Los Angeles Chargers' Keenan Allen, and Las Vegas's Henry Ruggs, a teammate, by the way, at Alabama twice a year. Surtain again saying, I think, and it bears repeating, we're going to be, speaking of the Denver Broncos, the number one defense in the NFL. So what are your thoughts this morning? How are you feeling about that first round of the NFL draft in which the Broncos picked up another cornerback in Pat Surtain II with their number 9 pick? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. By the way, if you've been part of our texting family for quite some time, nothing has changed. Everything remains the same. Just continue to text away to your heart's content. But if you're thinking about becoming a new member of our texting family, welcome. The water's fine. Come on in. We have a brand new number for you. And the first time you use that number, just text KFKA to 970-478-1301. Again, 970-478-1301. Closing in on 616 now, 1310 KFKA. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you a wonderful musical adaptation of the much beloved Little Women through June 6. Tell you what, jump online, visit ColoradoCandlelight.com for tickets and show information. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse, Broadway in your backyard.
The Power Trip. Weekdays at 11 on 1310 KFKA. 13 days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
All right, not to be a Debbie Downer, but just when you thought we are slowly, cautiously working our way toward the new normal and everything's going to even out, well, this just came down the pike as diapers, cereal, and yes, toilet paper they're all going to get more expensive. Oh, great. 623 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Procter & Gamble, yeah, said they're raising prices on items like Pampers in September. Kimberly-Clark said in March, well, it's going to raise prices on Scott toilet paper, Huggies, and pull-ups in June. This, and, you know, everyone needs a nice justification and rationalization to make it through the day, right? This move, according to them, is necessary to help offset significant commodity cost inflation. But that's not all. General Mills, which makes cereal brands, including Cheerios, well, they're facing increased supply chain and freight costs in Kofi Bruce, the company's chief financial officer, said on a call with analysts, in this high-demand environment, why not cash in? These price increases reflect what some economists are calling a major shift in the way that companies have responded to demand during the pandemic. You see, before the virus hit, retailers often absorbed the cost when suppliers raised prices on goods because stiff competition forced retailers to keep their prices stable. Well, the pandemic changed all that, as it did so many things, right? Created chaos, confusion in global shipping markets. By the way, I think that Ever Given is still being held, I'm going to say hostage, by authorities for about a cool $1 billion. They want $1 billion from the owners of that huge container ship. You remember it was back in March. This is after it got stuck in the Suez Canal. That didn't help matters any, now did it? Well, it led to shortages along with the overall chaos and confusion in the global shipping markets, price increases that really have cascaded from factories to ports to stores. And yes, if you follow that trickle-down effect on down to us as consumers, because needless to say, when the pandemic hit, our shopping habits shifted pretty darn quickly, with people spending money on treadmills and office furniture instead of, for example, going out to eat in restaurants and seeing movies at theaters. So this in turn put enormous pressure on factories in China to produce these goods and ship them across the Pacific in containers. But the demand for shipping outstripped the availability of containers, particularly in Asia, and this created shortages that actually led to higher costs. Higher costs not just affecting the United States. British inflation hitting 0.7% in March, fueled by the prices of oil and clothing. By the way, when you look at the consumer price index nationally, this is the measure of the average change in prices paid by all of us for consumer goods. That increased 0.6% in March. Incidentally, the largest rise since August of 2012. This according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So in the beginning of the COVID-19 pandemic, companies were pretty focused on responding to the surge brought on by hamster cough. Oh, yes, that hoarding mentality that saw grocery store shelves stripped bare of everything from toilet paper to paper towels to hand sanitizer to cleaning products. Well, the list goes on and on because people were stocking up on those items, including canned food. Government was watching for price gouging. Customers were pretty wary of being taken advantage of. Now, Greg Portell is a partner at Kearney. This is a consulting firm. He said when the pandemic first struck paper, toilet paper was like gold. I remember those days, don't you? The optics of trying to take a price increase during that time just weren't going to be good. So despite that overall spike in demand, companies were not in a position to balance out the price and cost equation. Yeah, from a public relations standpoint, they would have been absolutely slammed. But now that the economy is beginning to stabilize, companies are starting to make different economic calculations, rebalancing their pricing so it better fits their profit expectations and takes into account inflation, which could be lurking around the corner, which will, of course, drive up prices. Gregory Dacco is a chief U.S. economist for the firm Oxford Economics. He says, right now, demand is pretty fiscally stimulated and very strong. So even if you raised your prices, and this is why companies are looking to do just that, you're not necessarily going to lose market share because, well, everybody else is following suit. The lemming effect. I know. That's all kind of fantasy, isn't it? The whole lemming thing. Seriously, Google it. Anyway, that means other producers are doing the same thing. And because most people now have the means to buy. Now, whether those increased prices will stick or eventually come down, it's a topic of some conversation and debate among economists. Some predict that prices will actually normalize within 1 to 2 years as the economy continues to gain steam, the job market improves, and those who lost jobs during the pandemic increasingly return to work. But get ready, as we're going to see them jacking up the prices on diapers, cereal, and toilet paper firmly in their sights as well. 629 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's voice. Well, as the federal deficit grows totally out of control and President Biden seeks to raise taxes even higher, a former 2017 tax bill advisor has some thoughts on what Biden's plans mean for the country, the economic recovery, and future generations that will certainly be saddled with debt. Julio Gonzalez is CEO of Engineered Tax Services. He actually helped advise on the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, working closely with the administration, Congress, and the Senate on tax reform. Julio weighs in on Bidenhood. Yes, let's take the money from the evil, dreaded rich and hand it over to the poor when he joins us at 6:35.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Today's headlines, podcasts of mornings with Gail and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts. Find them at 1310KFKA.com.
Yep, call the president Bidenhood, as we are transferring wealth, for lack of a better term, where we're soaking the rich to hand the money over to the poor. 6:37 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Now, if you were able to stay awake during President Biden's, boy, it was deadly to watch, wasn't it? During his maiden address to a very small joint session of Congress, you saw him declaring that America is ready for a takeoff, pitching that sweeping vision for greater government investment to boost the economy, including this $1.8 trillion proposal for new spending on child care, education, and paid leave, among other things. All right. So if you put these plans, all right, the American Jobs Plan, the American Families Plan, and that $1.9 trillion pandemic relief bill together, well, that brings the total price tag up to an estimated $5.4 trillion, if not more. But hey, what's a few trillion? among taxpayers, as the case may be. Julio Gonzalez is CEO of Engineered Tax Services. He helped advise on the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, working closely with the administration, Congress, and Senate on tax reform. Julio, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me back. And he certainly put us on notice that big government is now in place and that economic freedom is, you know, that was its funeral.
Yeah. I mean, if big government is good, even bigger government is better. I mean, when you put all this together, I mean, that $1.9 trillion pandemic relief bill dwarfs FDR's New Deal in terms of total cost to the American taxpayer. But he's not stopping there.
He's not stopping there. And, you know, you said over $5 trillion and 4% goes to actual infrastructure. All the rest is 96% of all that $5 trillion plus is, you know, social redistribution, social giveaways at the expense of the taxpayers to the expense of the non-taxpayers. That's what he put us on notice. And he said, hey, listen, on notice, the Republican Party, you are on notice. You are the one enemy.
Yeah, because these days it's all about reconciliation, right?
Yeah, you know, reconciliation is really one time a year, and that they get the chance to do it. They already used it once this year, but now they're saying, hey, we're going to go back, fix the budget, and get to use it again somehow, some miraculous way. And probably not constitutional, probably will be fought. But that's their plan. And look, they're on a mission to get this $5 trillion in debt added to our economy, basically inflate the dollar. And you make us a weak economy.
Now, when you take a look at the reasoning behind that, I'm trying to go behind the curtain here, Julio. The reason they're pushing this through is because midterms rapidly approaching, right? So they want to ram as much through as they can because they're concerned about losing power and control.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And certainly their message sounds good to their audience, right? I mean, it resonates well with a lot of people out there that, you know, have voted for them and their party. And so that's what he's doing. I mean, he's really trying to pander to them at the expense of everyone else that's a hardworking, you know, citizen of our country paying taxes. And I still think it's a tough battle to get everything that they want accomplished. I think this will get slimmed down eventually. I don't see how it ultimately passes because there are some moderates in the liberal side that I think, mm-hmm. you know, just can't go for all of this.
Yeah, thank heaven for Joe Manchin, Kirsten Sinema, among those moderates.
That's right.
And but let's just see if they have the wherewithal, if they have the internal fortitude to withstand what I'm sure is going to be a lot of pressure.
There's no question about it. And, you know, look, it didn't work in New York raising the taxes, right? It didn't work for Cuomo. It didn't work for California. And those economies tanked. That's the price of, you know, raising taxes. The corporations move, and they'll move. They'll leave the country. The rich will go to Puerto Rico. They'll move outside. They'll figure it out. But at the cost of who? The middle class, the lower middle class, right? That's where the jobs get lost. That's where the taxes will ultimately get paid. And I don't understand how people don't see that. We see it within our own country. We see that the companies leave the states that raise the taxes, raise the regulation. So how do we not see that already, and how would that not impact us as a, you know, country?
Well, and you look, for example, when he said that America's house was on fire when he entered office. But if you just look at Thursday's first quarter GDP report, well, let's just say he might get a Pinocchio on that, refusing to give former President Trump, as is, well, the narrative in this administration, any credit for what he did to boost the economy.
Well, if you watched his speech, you wouldn't even know that the vaccine came from President Trump, right?
Oh,
think
no.
He took the entire credit for that. And listen, we as a country, the last 3 months was the biggest tax collection to the IRS ever recorded in our country's history. Why? Because President Trump, you know, had the best tax policy, got a vaccine done, helped states open up, through good governorship, and look what happened. And it worked, right? But now we're just going to reverse this. We're going to tell all small business owners coming out of a pandemic that you have to raise your taxes. Your employees have to join every union out there, right? He wants to bring unions back. There's no right-to-work states anymore. He wants to accomplish all that. And at the cost of millions of jobs, there's no way that that's going to be successful.
Right. He did say the middle class built this nation, and you got to thank those who feathered your cap, who paid for your campaign. Unions built the middle class. I found that a little frightening.
Well, so frightening that he said that unions built the middle class. We know how successful the unions were, that we had to bail them out as a country and then bail out the companies that were unionized, right? And then look at the mess with what he was saying with the trickle-down economics never worked, right? But when we lowered the income tax rates, lowest unemployment ever, it seemed to work just well.
Some experts calling this an end run around federalism, taking it even further and saying that this is anarchy.
Completely. I mean, it felt like socialism at the beginning of the speech, and then it felt like communism by the end of the speech. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I think this is where they want to go. They want to create dependency. Look, we as a country, and especially here in Florida, we've left all these communist countries for freedom. And now we see exactly what we see in the countries we left. We see this coming with Biden.
It's absolutely terrifying. 6:45 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, joined this morning by Julio Gonzalez. All right, let's talk a little bit about the narrative that's floating around out there that these taxes, okay, and I'm talking about the capital gains tax, for example, that these are taxes for punishment's sake. You had Lawrence Lindsay writing a great piece in the Wall Street Journal. He served as a Federal Reserve governor from 1991 to 97 and assistant to the president for economic policy 2001 and 2002. He says that this move would raise the rate on capital gains so high that it would leave everyone, including the government, worse off.
Well, no question. I mean, when you have that kind of capital gain, you think anyone's going to sell their businesses? Anyone's going to sell their real estate? Anyone's going to sell their stocks? No one's going to sell their assets because look at it. You have to give 45% of anything you made in that investment back to the government at the federal level and then the state level as well. I mean, the economy won't move. No one's going to invest because no one's going to sell. And it's a nightmare. And I feel so horrible for everyone that has a 401 that's worked so hard to put money into their 401k, their retirement, when the market's going to sell off, when the capital gains rates go up. You
sure.
can imagine there's going to be a mass exodus of the real estate stock market. That's all going to come crashing down. And, you know, so again, middle class gets hurt by that.
Yeah, but it's interesting because mantra of the Biden administration is that, no, this will not affect the middle class whatsoever. But as you referenced, even with that capital gains tax, and check me on this number, I could be wrong, but there's 100 million or so of us that are in the market. And as you said, there's going to be like this, it's going to be like rats abandoning ship. There's going to be this mass exodus before those new rates kick in, right?
100%. And then who's going to put money back into the stock market? That stock market will crash. We saw that. You know, we saw these, you know, play out before. History repeats itself and feels like we're going back to the future.
Right, exactly. Very well said. Julio Gonzalez is a CEO of Engineered Tax Services. He helped advise on the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, working very closely with the administration, Congress, and Senate on tax reform. I wonder what you would say to them today.
Well, you know, listen, we work in Congress, you know, 24/7, and you know, we're trying to educate every policymaker up there, every lawmaker up there, that when you increase these taxes, when we've done it, let's just look back to history. Let's look to the times when we did do it during Jimmy Carter era, and you can go back further. And what happened? The economies tanked. We were in our worst global economic position ever. We lost jobs. We had hyperinflation, which we're already seeing, right, with the gas prices and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. And, you know, you get socialist liberal government in place, and the way they win their votes is to say that this is going to be great for you and that we're going to redistribute the wealth to you and that you can stay home and you know, work off and live off the taxpayers. But that ultimately doesn't bear out, does it?
No, not at all. Before I let you go, I just wanted to touch on briefly, certainly a conversation to be continued, but let's talk about that corporate tax rate. You had President Biden saying during this address to Congress, we're in competition in China and with China. And wait a minute. Wait, didn't he say during his campaign, come on, man, China's no competition, but we're in competition with China and other countries to win the 21st century. Well, how do we compete with China with jacking up that corporate income tax rate, encouraging them to pull up stakes and set up shop? Where? Perhaps in China.
Is that, you know, that was the most ridiculous part of the speech, was his love for China and his devotion to them and to want to be partners with them, you know, at the expense of the Republican Party. I mean, how dramatic is this to basically say we're going to export all our jobs to China again because we're going to raise the corporate tax rates here so that we can't be profitable, we can't be competitive, and there's no way that we're going to be able to compete with them. There's just no way that we can do that when we raise the corporate tax rates. And our companies will leave. They'll go to Ireland, where a lot of them already are. They'll go to other countries. We just brought them back. We took, you know, 4 years to bring them all back, and now they're just going to all leave again. And they're starting to do that already.
Julio Gonzalez, CEO of Engineered Tax Services. He helped advise on the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Well, we're in some fairly perilous times, so I'm sure the conversation will continue. Thank you, as always, for your time and your perspectives this morning.
Oh, my pleasure.
Take good care. 651 now, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Carr of Fat Guys at the Movies here. Don't forget to listen to my show every Saturday on KFKA. Now back to Mornings with Gail.
:54 on your Friday morning. 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Talked about the fact that South Carolina Senator Tim Scott gave a powerfully scathing response to Joe Biden's big government agenda on Wednesday night. But did you know that that is considered to be one of the worst jobs in Washington, delivering the out of power parties rebuttal to a president's address to Congress? Because inevitably, whoever is tasked with that rather thankless task, they look small in comparison. Well, that's until Tim Scott. Is he the future for the Republican Party? He laid out in no uncertain terms what the GOP is against in the Biden agenda, but also, and I think this is equally, if not more important, what indeed it is for. You just can't be against something. You have to come up with innovative and creative suggestions to change what sadly is becoming the big government tax and spend status quo. He also called out progressive hypocrisies, such as those, writes the Wall Street Journal, who call him Uncle Tom and the N-word because he is a black Republican. Oh, and underscoring that point, did you happen to see this? That same night after he delivered his rebuttal, which could be construed and considered to be a GOP revival message, that same night, on the oh-so-politically correct and socially responsible social media, yuck, Twitter, I can't even think of something to call it that isn't pretty obscene. Let's call it the social media swamp. That same night, Uncle Tim was trending on Twitter. And it took the platform 12 hours. 12 hours before they shut it down. The most electrifying moment came when he squarely addressed the issue that's now dividing this country, tearing this country apart. Hear me clearly, he said, America is not a racist country. Wouldn't know it by Twitter now, would you? 657 now, 1310 KFKA.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. 13 days, 13 teams. Preps baseball training camp coverage presented by Journey Homes airs this afternoon at 4 on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's voice. Speaking of which, coming up in our local news roundup, boy, do we have a lot of things to cover, so you'll want to stay close for that. Plenty going on these days. ABC News, local news coming your way. KFKA Greeley, it's 7 o'clock.